gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Supreme Court rulings may come down within an hour?
Within the next
perhaps
hour,
perhaps,
yeah.
Health care? You better have a health care geek Jackie Schechner on the bat phone. Have her on standby.
All right.
Put her cell phone on stun. Okay. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday, everybody. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Big Monday show coming up. The Rude Pundit, Eric Bollert, to co-host Right Wing World. And Joy Behar, who's joining the current team. She's been filling in all this week for...
Ellie Spitzer.
Yes, and then she's got her own show in the fall.
Yes.
Sorry, it's Monday.
Spitzer? I just met her.
Oh, stop it.
No, stop it. All right, I am. Look at us. We did not coordinate
this.
We are
sorry.
Both, like, big...
This is the first thing I grabbed out of the closet. I'm sorry.
Big
I'm wearing one of my many Rolling Stone shirts in honor of the last tour.
Yeah, well, this is the last Sexy Liberal tour, too, Mick. So
this
anyway...
This could be the last time.
Oh, please.
Maybe the
whatever,
last time.
Judd.
I don't know.
I have a feeling they're going to use that in some headlines today. Yeah.
This could be the last time.
Yeah.
Whatever, Judds. You'll be back. Okay. So, speaking of Sexy Liberal, oh, look, and did you put this up, David? Here is me in my Sexy Liberal shirt and cup of Joe after the show. Rock on, Steph. David in Minneapolis.
There are several people who commented on that picture that said David himself is quite the Sexy Liberal.
Handsome and romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, which, by the way, I got several of these. Chris Enrique says, Steph, thanks for all the work you do to put the sexy back in Liberal. Also, I believe my favorite voice on your show is your handsome and romantic voice. So tell Chris to STFU.
STFU, handsome romantic.
What did I do?
What you always tell
what
me
brought that on?
That it's irritating how I say, handsome romantic.
Handsome romantic.
Handsome romantic. All right, speaking of Sexy Liberal, high-strung Sexy Liberal tour director Roland says, oh, dear goodness. By the way, we keep getting requests for other cities in Ohio, and I'm sorry.
She says no.
Nope. Columbus will be the only Ohio date,
well,
and tickets are going are almost gone. That's August... What is it?
It's centrally located.
Thank you.
In the middle of the state.
Conveniently located for you in Ohio.
From...
Yeah, Cleveland, Dayton, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Get your duff in the car. Let's go. August 18th. All right, here we go. Columbus, coming up.
Hey, Columbus, we've got the cure for what makes you K-sick.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal crew are coming to the Capitol Theater on August 18th.
What a fun, sexy time for you.
Join comedic geniuses Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang.
Fox News is like a mecca for people who hate mecca.
And talk radio goddess Stephanie Miller.
It's the most action I've had in I don't know how long.
As they help Columbus rediscover its funny bone.
Who's laughing now, huh? I'll tell you who's laughing now. We are!
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com, at the Kappa Ticket Office, or by calling 800-745-3000. This is truly the show that will put the back in Ohio. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, coming to the Capitol Theater on August 18th. Buckeye State, you're going to love our nuts.
You're going to love my nuts.
Yep, thank you. All right, and also, the ginormous barn that is the Pantages in Los Angeles, already almost 2,000 people have bought tickets. They're almost gone for July, so I would hurry and get it. Oh, and guess what's happening today?
What?
The current TV crew is coming to my house after the show to shoot stuff for the Sexy Liberal documentary.
They're coming to the compound?
They are doing a documentary on the phenomenon that is the Sexy Liberal tour.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what that means, Jim.
The dogs are going to lick the lenses and ruin the whole shoot.
That could happen. But also, they're sending the smoking hot hair and makeup girl, Daisy, from Current.
Oh,
so
hello.
You might want to stop by.
I might just.
Say a little howdy-do. Okay. All right. So, lots of stuff, obviously, going on. Hello. Is it a different day, a different story of disrespect for this president? Since when the president's making a statement in the Rose Garden, like this historic statement about the about undocumented kids,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, everything he does, they're like, oh, that's not political. It's a, first of all, he was already ahead among Latinos by 1,000 points.
Right.
He did it the same reason as marriage equality, because it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
And because he had unbelievable obstructionism, as usual, from Republicans, he's been trying to get this DREAM Act done for how long?
Right.
So, anyway.
And these kids are here through no fault of their own.
Right.
No reason.
Right. Which forced it took Mitten several hours
right.
to think of a really squishy statement to make that didn't really commit to anything either way.
It took him a day or two.
Yeah. After taking the hardest line of every candidate in the Republican primary, it was just, I don't know. Oh, this is just very rude of him when I'm on my bus tour. That's not really a bus tour because I fly there and then I get on the bus. But anyway, the point is, this is just rude.
Did you hear what an athlete my wife is?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
He said his wife is the athlete in the family because her horse just got into the Olympics.
What?
That would make the horse.
That would make the horse, actually, the athlete.
Congratulations to Rafalka.
Yes. Congratulations, Rafalka, who I'm sure watches.
Actually, Rafalka Romney has a great Twitter account. You should follow
Rafalka. Yes, I have seen the Rafalka's Twitter.
It's awesome.
Uh-huh. How do you tweet with hooves?
I am just not good at deductions. Ann Romney gets a $77,000 a year tax deduction for her dressage horse, which is, Chris, how much higher than most people's average income?
Well, it is higher than most people's average income.
By a bit.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Well, good for her. Good for her, then. Yeah, I've never gotten that when people say a horseback riding's exercise. I'm like, well, what is it for the horse, then?
Yeah.
You're mostly sitting is what you're doing. Mostly.
How are they going to fly Rafalka to London?
I don't know. I don't fill in your own on top of the plane joke here. Whatever. But anyway, so the president, I've never heard this, at least in my lifetime, the president's not even through his statement when he gets heckled by some doofus from the Daily Caller, Tucker Carlson. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Apparently he didn't know this is a rose garden.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, wow.
But did you know this is the rose garden? Along with the press pass. You've got to not be such a horse's ass.
Yay! Hey. Rocky Mountain Mike!
Rocky Mountain Mike! Yeah, there you go. Big S Cup SDFU in the Rose Garden for you. How's about that? Wow! Well, I thought I had a bad weekend. Holy moly! Tom in Kansas City was the first to send me this story. Steph, follow this story in the Aren't You Glad Your Only Problem Isn't Wearing a Green Pashmina in front of Cher stack? The headline, woman bites into calamari, gets a mouthful of squid sperm.
That's the worst porno ever.
Wow, do I hate when this happens.
Especially you.
This is not what I ordered. Okay, by the way, you can stop sending me beaver hats. Seriously, people. Especially like one that looks like a construction cone. I mean, honestly.
Say thank you.
I love you. Thank you so much.
But stop.
Okay. A South Korean woman was enjoying a plate of calamari when she suddenly felt a painful, quote, pricking foreign body sensation in her mouth. It was later revealed that 12 squid spermatophores had embedded themselves in her tongue, cheek, and gums.
So they're like sperm missiles.
Yes.
Sperm spears.
Spermsicles. Yes.
Sperm spears, yes.
That stick into your
They are described as a cups of semen that come complete with their own ejaculatory apparatus capable of releasing the sperm with great force. They're like tiny little...
Sperm cannons.
Sperm cannons. Sperm rockets.
Sperm rocket skates.
She was consuming parboiled squid, for those of you... Just make a note of that.
Hmm.
Unlike its American cousin, does not have its internal organs removed, leaving customers vulnerable to sperm explosions.
God knows what else.
That's surprising. Yeah.
I prefer
That's quite a surprising lunch.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to be going to pho anytime soon. So I don't know what all's in there.
Oh, well, if you go to pho, just get the normal, like, meatball and sliced steak. Don't get the tripe and everything in it.
I like all the creepy crawlies. Yeah, this story.
Well, then you're going to get some squid sperm in there.
What the fuck?
Is that extra? So I hear it's good protein. I've heard that many times.
Oh.
I couldn't get enough of descriptions of this. She had to go to the hospital when she felt a severe pain and several, quote, small, squirming, creepy crawlies in her mouth.
I think I'm going to burst.
You know what, though?
Doctors found the squid had left, quote, 12 small, white, spindle-shaped bug-like organisms in the mucous membranes of her tongue and cheek. Hope no one's eating breakfast, are you?
Not anymore.
Okay. The woman's mouth had been essentially been inseminated.
Yes.
Shouldn't you clean out squid before you...
Well, sure. But
you know, Republicans are going to make a law against this. Somehow this is going to, because... they're going to make sure there's an anti-choice, and yeah. whatever's going on in her mouth, she'll just have to live with it.
You know what, though? When you eat authentic Asian food, mm-hmm. you take your chances
you're gonna get sick.
With something like this happening. Americanized Asian food is not really Asian food, but this is.
Researchers think the squid's sperm bags came out while the woman chewed her food. Squids have sperm bags. That's what they're called.
Huh.
They're lovely. They're accessories.
Yeah.
Here's a fun fact.
Okay.
This is.
I guess they weren't Louis Vuitton.
No.
This is not the first time a squid has tried to fertilize a human mouth. There have been several incidents in Japan. Several? Really? Where people have complained about oral stings by their food, according to a news site there. Okay, so. Wowee.
Well, don't people in Japan eat that one part of the blowfish that isn't... That isn't deadly to you.
Deadly, but you're kind of taking it. It's like Russian roulette.
Yeah,
it's like
chew
seafood
around
roulette.
It.
Yeah, might have hit that part.
Everything else in the blowfish can kill you on contact, but that they,
is it really that good? Is
it really?
Really? Is it really worth it?
No,
it better do something for me. That blowfish. If it's, I'm paying that kind
what
of
do
money.
What do you have to get a blowfish around here? Seriously. All right. Wow. So. That happens. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour.
Yikes.
Off to a rollicking start on Mondays on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm not hungry for calamari.
Yeah.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. That makes me sweat.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Rocky Mountain Mike said what? Said his bit was upstaged by fish?
Yeah.
No, that's not true, Rocky Mountain Mike. Your bit was spectacular. It's not every day there's, you know, a story about exploding a squid sperm.
Right.
Thank God.
Woo! Yikes. Okay, so 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Literally, in case you've just tuned in, it looks like within the hour we could have some Supreme Court.
They said next hour.
Sometime next hour.
Yeah.
And we don't know what. Could be health care, could be Arizona, immigration law. Yada, yada, yada. All right, so can I just say for the president, yay on the... once again, you know, this is the thing that kills me, because I said... before the break about they're going to go, oh, it's political. What was the last poll we did, Chris? He was ahead 60-something to 30
right. Yeah.
Over Romney among Latinos.
Yeah.
So, you know, while you could look at it as political, you have to go, it's the right thing to do. They've been talking about it and trying to get the DREAM Act done for how long?
Mm-hmm.
They've
come up against Republican obstructionism all the way along.
Yeah.
So President Obama said, okay, this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah. Like nobody does.
Like South Central does.
Exactly. My point. Okay, the president on that.
They pledge allegiance to our flag. They are Americans in their heart, in their minds, in every single way but one, on paper.
Yeah, and so it took how many hours for Mittens to have any kind of...
It took 2 days, because this happened on Friday. Mitt finally came up with something on Sunday.
Yeah. I love this. I love the headlines. His hand forced by Obama, Mitt Romney etch-a-sketches on immigration.
Yeah.
Because this was, he was trying to outdo everybody, right, in the Republican mm-hmm. primaries. President Obama put Mitt Romney in a political box.
Nobody.
And somebody does put baby in
on
a box.
The roof? Yes. On the roof.
When he circumvented a congressional blockage and implemented the spirit of the DREAM Act through executive action with no other choice, Romney finally started talking about immigration. T, and then a he. With no other choice, and showcase an emerging general election message that's much different. What? Flip-flopping already?
Huh?
You're kidding.
Who could have seen
from
that
the hardline anti-immigration rhetoric that was a key component of his primary campaign. Here we go. He took a time out from his bus tour in New Hampshire to criticize Obama, albeit tepidly. I mean, this is exactly who he is. He does not have one principle right. in his body.
He just licks his finger and sticks it up in the air to see what's
like, well, I can't use the same rhetoric I used in the primary, but I can't say I'm for it because President Obama's for it. So he tries to just do some little mushy thing in the middle that just... He said, I think the action the president took today makes it more difficult to reach that long-term solution because an executive order, of course, is just a short-term matter.
But it wasn't,
no, it doesn't.
It wasn't an executive order.
You know what it is? It's leadership. That's what
right.
it is. It's caused you to have to talk about it. It's going to have force them to actually do something
right.
about this, you know? And yeah.
But it's also a right-wing talking point that this was an executive order because this was not an executive order. This is just policy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Ben
saying exactly what they're saying on Fox.
Right.
Yeah.
Verbatim.
Ben LeBolt, our friend from the Obama campaign, said during the primaries, Governor Romney called the DREAM Act a handout and said he would veto it. His solution to our immigration challenges was self-deportation, if you'll recall.
Yeah.
The president remains committed
to
passing...
Which was a joke, by the way. Someone suggested it as a joke, and Romney took it seriously because he has...
I think that's a good plan.
That's marvelous.
That's marvelous.
That's marvelous,
I like that.
Man.
I like the cut of your jib. I'm not sure what a jib is, but I like it.
If Paul Ryan said it, I love it. The president remains committed to passing the DREAM Act, which is drafted with bipartisan support, but he won't sit back and allow these children to get deported in the face of inaction. During the primaries, if you'll recall, Romney bludgeoned his opponents for suggesting that dealing with the children of illegal immigrants was a noble goal. Remember when Rick Perry told a Florida debate audience Republicans opposed the idea behind his state's version of the DREAM Act didn't have a heart? Romney pounced and said, my friend Governor Perry said if you don't agree with his position on giving that in-state tuition to illegals, you don't have a heart. I think if you're opposed to illegal immigration, it doesn't mean you don't have a heart. It means you have a heart and a brain. Yeah. Okay, Mittens. How's that going for you now? The president.
Let's be clear. This is not amnesty. This is not immunity. This is not a path to citizenship.
That was quite the loud bird.
Yeah. The Rose Garden always sounds like
Republican.
An aviary.
Yeah.
It's a Republican heckling bird. Knock, knock, knock. Meanwhile...
Muslim Canyon.
Meanwhile, this could also be part of the reason Republicans having a little trouble with Hispanic voter outreach. Republican efforts to woo Hispanic voters stymied by stock photo of Asian children on an RNC outreach site. It helps to be kind of familiar with what exact...
Oh,
you know,
Lord.
Types
really?
Of people you're talking about.
Oh. Well, they look brownish. Close enough.
Where did they go from Gawker? The one unspoken rule of Hispanic outreach sites is, quote, make sure the stock photos you use depict Hispanic people.
Oh,
apparently no. Apparently the GOP that needs that rule to be said out loud. The stock photo being used on top of the RNC's Latino outreach site features children of Asian descent, and worse still, their ethnicity clearly labeled at the source. That says everything you need to know about. Quick, get some pictures of some vaguely brownish
swarthy
type
people.
Mexico, Nepal, what's the difference?
Get some thing that looks like diversity and quick. Nicely done. Nicely done. All right. So lots more crunchy audio goodness from the president in the Rose Garden and Mitt Romney's response. Something.
It was something.
Something. As we continue, 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Owen Rude Pundit.
That's right.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have your own private Idaho?
Stephanie Miller.
She's a real workaholic. Hey, you mentioned work. She gets drunk.
It is the Stephanie Miller.
Yes, you can't be working to play some action in this town. You took me to my place.
34 minutes.
I don't want to tell you.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Monday, everybody.
It's Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
How are you, sir? I'm fine. I particularly hilarious stuff this week. You say that Rude Pundit awaiting the arrival of DEFCON tard in the rights reaction to the new Obama administration directive that the Department of Homeland Security no longer deport young illegal immigrants who meet certain criteria. Yeah, you can start to just feel the eruptions when he says something. You say DEFCON Tard is the second highest level of outrage. Conservative reactions to anything Democrats do range from DEFCON bat all the way up to DEFCON Lewinsky. So thank you for that.
Yeah, but that's when you shut down the actual functioning of the government.
Right. Yes. So. Yes, in such a tizzy fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the standard GOP line, of course, and you predicted, the White House abrogated the rule of law.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. You must go through Congress for everything but war.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's amazing how transparent it is, how completely the opposite of everything that happened in the Bush administration is, right?
And the same people that went along with every time that Bush issued an executive order who had no problem with it now, of course, are just waving their arms frantically over Obama. Yeah.
Well, you said it best and most rudely, if I may say so. You said you'll hear a lot about this, about how the president should have worked with the Congress as if that's even remotely possible with this batch of incompetence and mother... Which I think...
I actually think that's the official GOP banner, you know?
Yes.
We're nothing but incompetent and MFers.
And mother...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bring your mothers.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the thing. You know, you go, oh, well, he just did this for politics. And as you say, this is because he has been trying... About, you know, in terms of the DREAM Act, ever since he got into office, right? And this is, he has hit the same wall that he's hit on every single other subject.
And let's remember, the DREAM Act was supported by 55 senators. I mean, when the last time it came up for a, you know, quote-unquote vote, it fell short of a filibuster-proof majority, but it had a majority of the Senate. And this was during the time when there was a Democratic House. So... If we'd have been living under the rational rules of operating the Senate as we had for so long, it would have passed.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's the thing, honestly, Rude, you're right, that makes my head explode when you, like clockwork, see these Republican pundits say, well, he should have passed it when he had a Democratic Congress and when he had a Democrat. We never had a Democratic majority because of their obstructionism. And that's...
Well, the problem was that for the first year, we had a Democratic Congress, but we also had Ben Nelson.
Yeah.
So it was a majority minus Ben Nelson. When we had the 60 votes.
But you're right. Once again, here's something that I don't know where I'll find the latest poll. Chris, it's what, 70-something% of the American people are for the DREAM Act.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And, you know, as you say, right, Blogglesvania will have its usual hate-gasm, but at the end of the day, most people, real people, are going to look at this and say, well, sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Most people are going to think, wow, that's rational and compassionate, and you know what? Hey, why not? And you know what? Hey, these are probably friends of my children who went to school with my children who probably hung out in my house. Yeah, they're fine.
And as you say, the politics of it, you have to say, is just that's the icing on the cake that's so good.
Because
it makes Mitt Romney look exactly like the soulless, principle-free... candidate that he is. You say President Obama just changed the week's narrative on his campaign. It totally, with the Romney campaign's focus on the economy. Yesterday, a Romney bus tried to disrupt Obama's speech by honking like the braying ass its candidate is. As Romney heads off on a magic bus trip through several straights, this is Obama campaign's you, and have a great time, Mick. Guess what everyone's going to ask you about now, mother. Oh, and shove your horn up your ass. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I believe that was in an Axelrod press release.
Yeah, exactly. You were just paraphrasing.
Yes. I wouldn't that be great if Axelrod came out and said, hey, Mitch, shove your bubble blowers and your horn blowers up your ass. That would just be great. And Axelrod's the one to do it.
But, you know, again, that's my take on it, Rude, is that this is, once again, like on marriage equality, this is leadership. This is what it looks like. You say the update, shorter version of President Obama's statement today is Congress can go... itself with its filibuster, somebody's got to get done. And imagine the convulsion of revulsion that would have vomited out of the press during the Bush administration if a liberal reporter had interrupted the president while he was making a statement. I mean, and once again, Rude, there he is, just pure class, you know?
Yep.
He does not react. Someone yells, you lie, at him, puts their finger in his face. And I mean, but again, never happened before. President's never been interrupted in the Rose Garden before, right?
No. Bush had to go overseas to get a shoe thrown at him, no matter how bad we wanted to do it. And that was at least at an actual press conference, you know, where people could ask questions. This was an announcement, you know.
Yeah.
They weren't even, and the press knows this, except for the idiots and nut jobs over at things like the Daily Caller or the Blaze, who don't understand that, yes, you're right, the president should always be asked questions, but a little bit of decorum here. Let him finish what he has to say.
Yeah.
How did this nutbag get a press pass in the first place?
Oh, I'm sure it was one of those, oh, we better make sure that we don't get any antagonism on the right by denying their people press.
You know what? F that.
Pass.
I'm tired of being nice to these these far-right bloggers who do nothing but stir up crap.
They're not journalists.
They're not journalists.
Well, I mean,
they're
Joe Wilson, you know, raised money on yelling you lie at the president during the State of the Union. I mean, it's really, you know, rude. And like I said, it's not that you can't have a disagreement with the president. You don't stick your finger in his face on camera. You know?
This guy's a freaking immigrant, you know? I say check the status of his entire family.
He's an immigrant from Ireland. You're right.
Yeah. And the other thing was is the way the president handled it, the look he gave this guy, I would have been thinking, oh, crap, there's a drone missile heading right for my house now.
One of those teeny tiny drones that's on its way to... you know, and then, as you know, we're waiting maybe next hour. It may be on health care, but Supreme Court rulings coming down. But
it's coming down today?
Some indications were from the Supreme Court that there some decisions would be made in the next hour.
Beautiful.
And it could be, I don't know, Obamacare. Yeah. We don't know. But as you posted, Mitt Romney's post-Obamacare plan, nothing. You say, worse than worthless because the health care becomes a cluster of state policies with all told will probably come in at more than the awful 2,400 pages that conservatives can't get over. This is Romney in a nutshell, an empty suit who uses the deliberate obfuscation of business speak to make it seem like he's accomplishing something. In reality, he's merely tearing down something for the sake of tearing it down, like he did at Bain Capital, like he did in Massachusetts. Nicely done, Rude.
Well, thank you, thank you. I like to synthesize it all. That's really the way I like to conclude things.
And you do it so well.
Yeah, but I mean, that's exactly, you're right, and that's why they're scrambling, because that's all they've done is we're just against whatever the president's for. Now they're starting to see that all these provisions that everybody's for and are becoming popular and are helping people, now they don't know what to do.
Well, didn't the Wall Street Journal just have an editorial that said, Republicans, you can't just be against Obamacare and have nothing to back it up if it goes away.
Yeah.
That taking them to task for not having a backup plan, because people are going to want to say, well, it wasn't. We're just going to go back to what it was with all those people lacking health care and all those people booted off for pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you got to love Mitt Romney's take on pre-existing conditions, which is if you had insurance, you should be able to go on to other insurance. It's really just for wealthy people with pre-existing conditions. You
they get $77,000 deductions for their dressage horses.
Yeah. Made it into the Olympics. Rafalka is an Olympian.
Yes, congratulations.
Although Mitt Romney called Anne the Olympian.
She's the athlete in the family.
Oh, she is. Well, it must be her graceful gait.
She bought the horse. That's all she did.
Yes.
That's the only effort she exerted.
She's writing the check. She's a
God.
She's cheering.
Oh, boy.
You know what? That's work. Don't say it's not work. You are an elitist scum if you think that's not work.
Look at all the au pairs they had to hire.
Exactly.
It's not work? Good heavens.
Rudeness, we will talk next week when all of this Supreme Court stuff comes down. But in the meantime, great stuff this week. Love you. See you next week.
Bye.
All right, there he goes.
RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Right. Kevin in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hey, gang.
Hi.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the immigration policy issue. I thought it was hilarious the way it all came down on Friday, because you knew the Republican talking point for the day was Obama is all talk and no action. And then he pulls in this policy, and all of a sudden they have to change it real quick and say, oh, it's just for political gain that he's doing this.
Yeah. Well, they're going to say that about anything he does or says. Apparently, he has the audacity to be running for president again.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
You know.
If I can make one more point, Ronald Reagan first initialized this whole amnesty plan in his election year, 1984, when he said, I believe in the idea of amnesty for those who have put down their roots here and lived here, even though sometime back they may have come here illegally.
Well, Kevin, that's why Jeb Bush is right. He, you know, his father, Reagan, would not have made it through the Republican primary.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's you know, it's just a further testament to where this party has gone, and now he's stuck. I mean, now Romney's stuck.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing. We have it on tape. We can just, like the president said. Remember, he said, "I think I'll just play the Republican primaries on a loop on Univision."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and this is so. First of all, is it as disingenuous as I think it is to go, oh, well, we have a version, our own version of the Dream Act we have a brown guy.
Yes, it's the Nightmare
Act. Rubio, we have a thing that might be a, it's like, oh my God. He could not have been clearer that he would veto the Dream Act.
Yeah. We have pictures of some Asian kids.
Look, we understand diversity. Here's some kids of a totally
somewhere.
Different descent that
yeah.
we didn't even realize, because that's how out of touch we are.
And did you see that torture czar Alberto Gonzalez said that this went against the oath of the president's office?
Huh?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. That
how
was
rich is that?
That was rich.
That's so rich, I need my lenta.
What the president is doing,
yeah.
Alberto Gonzalez, the torture czar, mm-hmm. says he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
By the way, and he also said last week, Rubio, not qualified to be president. One unqualified token and spot another.
Why is Alberto Gonzalez suddenly poking his head up
talking?
Out of the...
Yeah. Why is he talking?
Why?
Yeah, we all got a big bag of shush.
I thought we got rid of him.
Yeah, no talking. Ugh. No. All right. 40...
You don't shut him up. Waterboarding.
No, it's very true. That's what he advocated, so mm-hmm. why don't we...
It's not torture, apparently.
Yeah, it's not torture.
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
Hey, if it's not torture...
The Stephanie Miller Show is not advocating the waterboarding of Alberto Gonzalez. We're just saying.
Yeah, it's a good way of getting information from him. If he has more information, let's use that.
If it's not,
it's not torture.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
Just saying.
Hmm? By the way, that gets you free dispensation about everything if you say "just saying" right after it.
Exactly.
I'm not saying.
I report. You decide.
I'm invading Poland. Just
yeah.
saying.
I'm just saying. 40. There he goes. We have our first Nazi reference of the morning. Wait, have you seen a picture of Hitler? All right, it's not funny,
what?
But it's a picture of Hitler with a little smile on his face on the phone, and it just says, "Nine, you hang up first."
That is really, really
weird.
Random.
It's just weird. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Some of the bad girls.
The girl the bad girls want, too. What?
Don't I know it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Darren in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Darren.
Good morning, Mama, and good morning, Mooks. How are y'all?
Good
morning.
Hey.
All right, I'd like to be the official Massachusetts angry black liberal if I could be.
Oh, please.
Okay.
No, thank you. Love
please.
Y'all.
Thank
love
you.
The show.
Yes.
Look, I'm really, Steph and Mooks, I'm really upset with this, the way that they're talking about Obama and this thing. I mean, every time Obama does something, and I love the way he blocked, Mitt Romney into a corner with the Dream Act, issue here.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing is on the shows, it's always the same thing. When you listen to these pundits, it's always, well, how is this bad for the president?
Yep.
Every single time.
Yep.
Every
yep.
accomplishment. And, I mean, if you listen to the pundits yesterday, you'd think Obama had said, well, let's just open the door and let all the immigrants run through. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the story in the LA Times about Romney's, oh, by the way, he's not, it's like Sarah Palin, it's not an actual bus tour. He flies and then just gets on for the last mile.
They find a parking lot somewhere in a Burger King, he gets on the bus.
Because there are no cameras anywhere. That
uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So did you see the plane? There's a plane that's been flying around his thing. It says Romney's Every Millionaire Counts Tour.
Yeah.
For a campaign that recoils from all things spontaneous, it was a rare distraction. He probably was thinking, can I send a drone yet or no? Is it?
Can we shoot it down?
Mm. It was also fitting on a day when President Obama overshadowed. Romney's message with his announcement that the administration would stop deporting many illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. as children. Romney was faced with a classic demonstration of how the White House can use its power. Because I'm Andrew Shepherd and I am president, biatch. Okay.
Is that an American president reference?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Yes. Yeah. Biatch.
I don't think he said biatch.
No, I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
Okay. For hours, Romney tried to ignore the news. Finally, after a rally with a ragtime band playing Yankee Doodle Dandy. Oh, well, that makes it all better. See, at least it's patriotic music.
Yeah.
So, Romney made a statement that stuck a radically different tone from the hardline approach he took on illegal immigration during the Republican primaries.
Huh.
Mm. He said, I believe the status of young people who come here through no fault of their own is an important matter to be considered and should be served, solved on a long-term basis, blah, 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 blah. But he made no commitment to supporting any particular option. Is that leadership?
No.
What is your plan? Same thing on health care. He's got nothing, right? UConn, his new spokesperson, UConn Cornelius. So what do you got on immigration? What would you do?
Nothing.
No. After making his statement, of course, Romney refused to take questions in keeping with his campaign's meticulous staging of events. Oh, my God. I love this whole, this is the whole show business part. His ad team deployed 6 cameras to record the rally for TV commercials. One camera hovered above the, over a boom hanging over a crowd of several hundred. A giant arc light hoisted on a scissor lift enhanced the sunlight.
Oh, come on.
Really?
Yes, so he could just, he just looked all glisteny and American.
Good God.
He could pretend it was the sun from the planet Kolob that was...
Along with his boilerplate attacks on Obama's economic record, Romney paid tribute to America's farms and churches, its Little League coaches, and PTA members, along with some presidents who grew up in...
Who doesn't like apple pie?
Who grew up in small towns. Abraham Lincoln, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan. He just... This is going to be his campaign, Jim. Just naming objects.
Slogans.
Just, yes. Little League players, PTA members, trees, lakes.
Wrestlers. Grass.
Lakes, grass.
Small sidewalks.
Hands. Wow.
Chimneys.
Exactly
four-square
right
balls.
Those chocolatey things. That
the chocolatey
I
goodnesses
don't recognize
over there.
7-Eleven.
Something. Heavens. Wow. Wow. Okay, then. The president on Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is the president getting heckled by Matt Monroe.
Oh, yes. Here it is. Okay. Uh-huh.
It is the right thing to do. Excuse me, sir. It's not time for questions, sir. Not while I'm speaking. Precisely because this is temporary, Congress needs to act. And the answer to your question, sir, and the next time I prefer you let me finish my statements before you ask that question, is this is the right thing to do for the American people. Vivica, I didn't ask for an argument. I'm answering your question.
Geez.
It is the right thing to do for the American people, and here's why.
Go back to Killarney, you drunken leprechaun. Take your pot of gold.
Seriously. Oh, he's a far better man than I, let me just say. I would not have... I mean, he's just... once again, using the word, unprecedented. That is unprecedented.
And reaction in the right-wing blogosphere was strangely mixed. People like Bill Kristol supported the president in this, and then there were other people that just supported this guy.
Yeah. They think it's, you know, fine.
Yeah. I'll show him. Ha!
It's, you know, a monster truck rally
president.
Or, you know, town hall or something. He's the president of the United States in the Rose Garden. He's making a statement. Wait till he's finished.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's...
I hope they checked his immigration status.
Don Lemon on CNN last night said, what would Tucker Carlson think if someone heckled him during Dancing with the Stars? You know?
And he deserved that, let me just say.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Tucker wouldn't have liked it. Tucker would have thought it was disrespectful.
Yeah. Janet Napolitano.
It was the product of really looking at what the results were of the ongoing review of pending cases, how we want to focus our resources for now and for the coming year.
I have to say, this really, just watching the sputtering in the right-wing blogosphere was worth all of this. Mitt Romney on Friday.
If I'm president, we'll do our very best to have that kind of long-term solution that provides certainty and clarity for the people who come into this country through no fault of their own.
And then they asked him, will you repeal this, what the president just did? He wouldn't say.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say.
He just kind of talked
in
circles.
Wouldn't really commit to, he just, I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Look at those trees. They're the right height. I love the lakes.
Yes. Undocumented children at the right height will be able to stay.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. Remember something, something.
He is the most awkward man in the world. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert with Media Matters for America with some great tweets this week, as usual, to call us Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, it's kittens in a bowl. No synchronized kitties. Oh.
Really?
Mm. Hello, 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday, everybody. 1-800, in case the Supreme Court rulings are bad, I'm just trying to insulate myself. You kitty, no kitty. Oh, kitty, no.
They all look at the same thing at the same time.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Is there anyone who hasn't seen that yet?
No. Hey, Chris and I are modeling Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. And completely, we realized we did not coordinate this.
No,
that is so.
This is the first thing I pulled out
doofy.
Of my closet.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Well, that's even sadder. It's like a whole closet of swag.
Yeah, well.
You can get it all of these on sexyliberal.com. Check it out. Pete from Durham writes, Staff, let me start by saying I'm so glad you're on Current. Why, thank you, Pete. My wife has been a fan of your show for years. When Sexy Liberal came to Durham last year, we went together. It was an unforgettable night. Now I can watch the entire 3 hours of your show every night. On our 23rd anniversary is coming up. Tickets to another show in Durham will make a wonderful gift for her. Any chance you're coming back our way? Pete, we're not. But listen, there's only very few dates remaining. We've got L.A. coming up next in July. We've got Columbus in August and Seattle in September.
Is the show closing down?
I don't know. I may just lose the will to live.
Oh, dear. Wow. Okay.
I don't know. I'm cranky. I'm cranky and old. All right. We have a... But I'm not cranky now because you know who's here. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard. Good morning, sir. Are you there?
Huh?
Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Hi, Eric Bollard.
How are you? Good morning.
Good, good, good. I loved your tweet about which is more pathetic, the Daily Caller hack Monroe heckling Obama or then not having the balls to admit he did it.
Yeah.
Wasn't that something? I mean, really. Didn't that sum up?
What did he
so
say exactly?
Things about the right-wing media.
Yeah.
What did he say exactly?
Did he deny he did it?
Oh, he was just, he mistimed his question. I always go there with my questions. There's nothing wrong with being inquisitive. I mean, there's been so, you know, Matt Lewis from Daily Caller was on CNN yesterday saying, well, you know, of course the press should be skeptical. I mean, straw man after straw man after straw man. You stood in the back of a presidential White House press statement with your hands in your pocket and you were yelling at the guy. That's what you did.
Yep.
And either you're going to stand by it, and you're going to say, you know, I'll do it again, or you apologize. You have an ounce of dignity, and someone at the Daily Caller apologized. But this mushy middle approach of, oh, well, gee, I thought he was done talking. That's why I yelled at the president mid-sentence.
Twice.
I mean, it has been so embarrassing on so many levels, and it sums up. I mean, this is beyond Obama derangement syndrome. You know, the right-wing media essentially views Obama as a common criminal, and this is the way you treat a common criminal. And why anyone from the Daily Caller is invited to White House events is beyond me.
Yep, exactly. I love your other tweet. Oh, look, Catholic bishops strongly support the DREAM Act. I'm sure Fox will hit this point all day long. Yeah, in addition to Richard Land, the evangelical leader, I mean, this really is amazing, isn't it? When you
Right. Yeah, Obama's supposed to be waging this war on religion, specifically supposed to be waging this war on the Catholic Church, and who has been absolutely out front year after year in terms of immigration reform, and specifically in terms of the DREAM Act. It's been the United States bishops. But boy, Fox News didn't talk about that on Friday. They talked about this, you know, egregious overstep by Obama. So, you know, it's obvious, you know, Fox News uses the Catholic Church, and they use the U.S. bishops, you know, purely for political reasons, and when it suits them, they'll pretend that Obama is waging this war on Catholics. But when Obama is in step with the Catholics when it comes to, you know, immigration,
flush
down the memory hole. No one dares talk about that.
Yep. Your other piece before we get into a right-wing world, I gingerly tiptoe into, being as I'm speaking to you from a Clear Channel station, my flagship affiliate here in Los Angeles.
I was thinking about that when I was writing it.
Yes!
Yes!
No, but go ahead.
Clear Channel doubles Beck's pay with a $100 million contract. Mm-hmm. I have to say, and I'm not just, you know, saying this for Eric, but I mean, we have, this is a great station here, Lane. We have a great sales staff that brings me a new advertiser, Beckley, every day.
Just came to tell me,
by the way, news, Chris, this week we're doing great here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We're beating the big Heritage right-wing talk station. So there's a lot of great stations around the country, but I mean, look, you know, everybody knows the stories. They replaced my show in San Francisco on the Clear Channel Jason with Glenn Beck, the ratings went down 90%. You know, you've just pointed out the obvious that
Folgers Crystals would
that they he got dropped in New York and a couple other places for low ratings. How do you get a $100 million contract? How does that happen?
They did it. This is interesting. We'll talk a little bit of radio economics here. I mean, they did it with Rush Limbaugh when his contract was up. Everyone knows the radio industry has been hurting because people are leaving in some form for their particularly on the music side, for the iPod, for free digital download of music. You know, radio has been struggling to keep its audience. And so here was Rush Limbaugh. His contract was up. There was no one on the landscape. None of the big players could match his Clear Channel contract. So they gave him a 40% raise. Glenn Beck, his contract was just up. Again, there's no one who can really match what Clear Channel's paying him, so they double his contract. Clear Channel, as you know, as everyone in the radio business knows, has laid off thousands and thousands and thousands of employees in
my friends and coworkers
the last 3 or 4 years.
Yep. Yeah, well, no,
there are more people, radio people on the beach, thanks to Clear Channel, than any other
company. No, listen,
and
I mean,
they're doubling his contract.
Right. I think none of this is, you know, is a secret anymore. I mean, because everything is so public. But I mean, you know, that is true. And that's why everybody knows that's a public thing, that there's so much debt on the company that, you know, some stations have to take shows that'll pay to get on, you know,
and
we're not going to do that. And so it's, you know, it's created an economic climate in radio, you're right, that is just not, you know, does not, let me just say, skew toward fairness.
And so the question is, why would this company be so interested in overpaying for doubling the salaries of its right-wing radio talk show host? It's a legitimate question.
Yeah, I had 90% higher ratings than he did in that slot in San Francisco, and as Chris said, I do it for half this, Eric. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Fair.
Beyond the pandering, beyond the politics, beyond the process, is simple constitutional decency. This is out-and-out lawlessness. And what's ironic, of course, is that for 8 years, the Democrats had been screaming about the imperial presidency of the Bush administration, the nonsense about the unitary executive. This is out-and-out lawlessness. This is not how you govern. And I think that's the first issue that should be on the table.
Wow. Oh. Wow. It's out-and-out lawlessness. Yeah. It's the old West, Eric.
Impeach. I don't know if you're going to play the clip, but Limbaugh on Friday said, and we're talking about, and Krauthammer was talking about the Dream Act,
the Nixon clip?
Worse than this.
We got that coming up next.
Oh, well, let's,
there we go.
Let's listen to that, Eric.
Worse than Watergate.
Yes.
Let's listen.
So,
40 years ago, Richard Nixon was hounded out of office.
Oh, poor guy.
Supposedly for his illegal actions.
Supposedly?
And I'm telling you, whatever Nixon did pales in comparison to just this move today. Obama declaring amnesty for 800,000 illegals based on their youth status.
Wow, there it is.
Worse
than Watergate.
That is so awesome. Richard Nixon was running a criminal enterprise out of the West Wing of the White House, but this Obama his move on the Dream Act pales in comparison to whatever Nixon was, quote, supposedly doing.
Oh, wow.
With Watergate. Look, you know, of course they're upset, and of course they're screaming, you know, lawlessness, imperial president. I'm pretty sure Congress has had the chance to act on this for years and years. The Republicans, particularly in the Senate, they will not even, you know, address the Obama agenda. They won't even give it the decency of debate. They won't do votes. And this is eventually when you won't engage, when the process won't work, this is one of the options the president has.
Yep, I know. All right, Lou Dobbs and Bill O'Reilly.
And what makes this objectionable to me today, amongst other things, is that he blames Republicans, saying that he couldn't get it through Congress, we can't wait. And completely distorts the reality and the record.
That being said, and we all know...
This is a political move.
Of course it is. We all know it's a political move.
Yeah, I mean, Eric, the thing, the point I've been making all morning is the president before this was already ahead, what, 60-something to 30 in Hispanic
right,
vote
right.
over Romney? So, you know, doesn't that kind of tend to make that accusation fall flat?
Yeah, it does. You know, there's probably no subgroup that he's actually doing better, minus in African-American voters. But again, I mean, we were talking about the U.S. bishops. They were talking about the DREAM Act, I think in 2008, in 2009 they wanted this passed. This,
right.
You know, Lou Dobbs wants to rewrite history and say, you know, Republicans and McConnell, well, they were right there at the table. They were just about to sign off on this, and, you know, Obama swooped in. This thing, they wouldn't touch it. They wouldn't discuss it. As they won't with virtually the entire Democratic and Obama agenda. So if they're not going to do anything, like I said, the White House does have some options. And so when they use these options, you know, you can't freak out and pretend that Obama undercut Republicans.
Yep.
It's called obstructionism. We've never seen anything like it. And you can't sort of whine when people go around it eventually.
That's right. All right. Eric Boehlert remains in the sidecar. We continue with Right Wing World. Breaking news from Jackie Schechner. The Supreme Court rulings will not be on immigration or Supreme Court or health care today.
Exactly. Jackie says they probably weren't going to do it anyway because the president is out of the country in Los Cabos, Mexico.
Oh, well, how nice. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric Boehlert rejoins us to continue Right Wing World. Bill Kristol on Fox News Sunday on the president's immigration announcement.
I think it's a sensible policy. I think
what?
It would be much better if that were the law of the land. And I think the president's pushing the edges of the limits of prosecutorial discretion and saying we're not going to enforce a law in order to leave these people in the country. But I think it's the right thing to do, actually.
Ha!
Wow.
And he also thought Iraq was the right thing to do, if you'll recall.
Yeah. That ruins everything. But yeah, you know, it's interesting that, and then you have Krauthammer earlier saying, you know, this is, you know, an illegal act. So it just sort of highlights how radical some of the rhetoric gets when people like Bill Kristol will take a couple steps back and say, yeah, you know, this kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I know. Well, and yet they don't want to give the president any credit. They have to say, you know, he supported everything the Bush administration did. We were talking last hour, Eric, about Alberto Gonzalez says the president may have violated his oath of office.
Yeah.
Excuse
right.
me?
What?
Yeah.
This coming from Alberto Gonzalez.
Yes. Yes.
The torture czar.
Yes. Yes. All right. Matt Lewis of the Daily Caller on CNN defending the guy that heckled the president.
A little bit about Neil Monroe. He's actually an Irish immigrant himself. He was at National Journal for a decade, so he's a seasoned reporter. And I think if you put it in context, President Obama, first of all, we should be aggressive when asking questions. There was going to be no question and answer.
You can shout at
Where
the president.
Where in the Constitution does it say you can't ask questions?
All right, I understand.
This is protocol,
understand.
And it's etiquette, but it's not constitutional. He did
wow.
the right thing.
He did the right thing.
By interrupting the protocol and etiquette.
Yeah. Stand in the back with your hands in your pocket and yell at the president during a formal statement in the garden, you know, in the Rose Garden. That's do the right thing. He wasn't even taking notes. It wasn't even a question. It was a classic heckling.
Yeah.
He was interrupting on purpose without even asking a question.
You lie!
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's play it again just for people that haven't heard it yet, and you decide.
Yeah,
you decide. This is President Obama in mid-statement. There we go.
It is the right thing to do. Excuse me, sir. It's not time for questions, sir. Not while I'm speaking. Precisely because this is temporary, Congress needs to act. And the answer to your question, sir, and the next time I prefer you let me finish my statements before you ask that question, is this is the right thing to do for the American people. Maybe I didn't ask for an argument. I'm answering your question. It is the right thing to do for the American people, and here's why.
Now, there wasn't a microphone trained on him, so do we know the exact nature of what Monroe was saying?
He was saying things like, why are you letting foreigners in, and how's it going to affect unemployment?
Okay.
Like
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
And, but hey, you know, Matt Lewis says he's Monroe's an Irish immigrant, so that makes it everything okay.
Yeah, makes it
okay. What was that?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and Eric, I keep saying...
He's not a Mexican immigrant, is his point.
I try not to cry racism and everything, but I think at this point you cannot say that there has just not been unprecedented disrespect shown to this president, whether it's yelling you lie at him or sticking your finger in his face or this.
Yeah, or Mark Halperin calling him a dick, and Glenn Beck calling him a racist, and last week in the New York Times they referred to him as a crybaby. There does seem to be something going on here that we haven't seen before, and Sam Donald made the point over the weekend. He does think it's because Obama's black and he's being treated that way. So
who are you to tell me it's not time to interrupt your speech? Who do you think you are?
Yeah,
this is there's always code for uppity, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting, though, and no one has asked Tucker Carlson from the Daily Caller or Monroe. I would like to know how many times Monroe talked to the Romney campaign before that event. Has he been in constant contact? You know, we know the Romney campaign now condones heckling. They sent their own people to heckle David Axelrod at an event. I would be fascinated to know how many times they talked to the Romney campaign before Monroe went over and heckled Obama. Because Daily Caller is not a news organization. Yep. I mean, it's a it's a partisan political outlet.
Well, Eric, to close Right Wing World, again, I know, subtlety is usually the way of the right wing in terms of racism. This is Barbara Espinoza, Arizona talk show host.
Yes.
I don't call him guy with rabbit ears. I call him a monkey. And I call him, I don't believe in calling him the first black president. I think he should be called.
I would have voted. I had Kane.
I voted for the white guy myself.
There's a shock. There's a shock. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Boy, she has a radio voice.
She went to broadcasting school. It's not hard to find that stuff. I mean, that's the sad part. I saw that, I saw reference to that over the weekend. But you look at, I hate to play the comment section game because you never really know who's writing this stuff, but it takes about 4 seconds to go on Fox Nation or any of these right-wing blogs, and you will find the most rancid kind of racism comments. It's the norm. It's the total norm every day of the year.
Not a political... When Whitney Houston died, I mean, it's incredible.
Quickly, the right-wing media has made it okay. They have urged people to unleash this racist rhetoric and all that stuff, and is now being seen as increasingly as okay. And that's the way you talk about this president.
Yeah. Eric Bollert, great stuff as usual. We will see you again next week for Right Wing World.
Okay.
Okay, there he goes, Eric Bollert, Media Matters, 29 minutes after the hour. Ugh. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are a brainwashed far-left loon who will use any excuse to disparage those with whom you disagree.
Oh, hush, you pinhead. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Christine in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
Good morning, Stephanie and crew.
Good morning.
I'm calling to be the official bird watcher for the Stephanie Miller Show today.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. The bird in the background at the Rose Garden was a robin. Did you know?
I did not. How did you?
Because I'm a birder.
She
knows it from the call.
I'm a birder.
It is the right thing to do.
Can I say?
Okay.
And I thought that you should know that because it's been brought to everyone's attention on all the networks about the bird. And no one has said, well, it's a robin. It's the first bird that we hear in Cleveland in the morning, and it's the last bird that we hear at night. So I am so positive that it is a robin, and so now I am your official bird watcher of the day.
All right. Thank you. And here is a Daily Caller. All right. That was the Daily Caller heckler. All right. Thank you. Okay. Nora in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nora.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I tell you, this weekend was absolutely fantastic. I was so amused and tickled by the frothing of the GOP at Obama's immigration announcement.
Yep.
I mean, they were out-politicked, and they can't take it. But basically, Obama did what apparently Rubio was going to propose in legislation that never would have gotten through. But Obama did it, and it actually it is actually going to help people in addition to helping him politically. So to me, I just absolutely
I think in that way it has something in common with his announcement about marriage equality. I think it's just the right thing to do. It is, you know, I think what he envisions a kinder, more inclusive America, and most Americans agree with him. Mm-hmm. I think on both issues. By the way, Romney's top five comments on immigration, Jim, during the Republican primary, just for those of you with, you know, short-term memory situations like me.
Turns out there are recording devices.
Yes.
He was unaware of that.
Romney attacked Governor Rick Perry for supporting the DREAM Act, calling it a magnet for illegal immigration.
Check.
He pledged to veto the DREAM Act. Check. Mm-hmm. Romney promised to make life so miserable for the undocumented immigrants that they would self-deport. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Romney rebuffed an undocumented young woman who was brought to the U.S. at age 10 and had a 4.0 grade average. After the young woman informed Romney of her 4.0 grade average, the former governor was quickly ushered away by aides. Because that was just awkward.
Yeah.
Romney consults the author of Extreme Anti-Immigration Legislation on Immigration Issues, Chris Kobach, that guy, who now apparently is just an informal something.
Whatever.
Advisor. He's not what? That guy?
No. He was just a guy.
There seems to be a lot of that vacillating back and forth between formal advisor and informal dude.
Now he's
some
just a guy.
Dude
yeah.
just showed up.
And, now yeah. he's just somebody
smoking
that he used to know.
Smoking marijuana cigarettes behind the dumpster.
Oh.
Oh, my God. You referenced a current song.
Just somebody what? That I used
wow.
to know.
Wow.
Thanks.
Wow.
Huh?
That, great. That where did I pull that out of?
That didn't come out in the 80s. How do you know that song?
Mama listens to the current music.
Well, we're on
anyway,
current
that guy,
TV. We
yeah.
have to listen to the current
that
music.
Guy,
of course.
That guy, Chris Kobach, said President Obama's new policy to not deport DREAM Act youth is deeply troubling. He wrote the extreme anti-immigration laws in Alabama and Arizona. He said the deferred action policy was illegal. Blah, blah, blah. It appears to be at odds with Mitt Romney's position, who did not say if he would reverse the president's directive. I believe Bob Schieffer tried to get it out of him on Face the Nation. Bob Schieffer tried to get it out of him on
would
Face the
Nation. Would you repeal this order if you became president?
This is something Congress has been working on, and I thought we were about to see some proposals brought forward by Senator Marco Rubio and by mm-hmm. Democrat mm-hmm. senators. But the president jumped in and said, I'm going to take this action. He called it a stopgap measure. I don't know why he feels stopgap measures are the right way to go.
Well, what would you do about it?
Well, as you know, he was president for the last 3.5 years, did nothing on immigration.
What would you do
2 years he had a Democrat House and Senate, did nothing of a permanent or long term basis.
What would you do about it?
He didn't answer the question.
What would you do about it?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's exactly it. Just la 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 la
what would you do? What would you do?
What would
you
do? What would you do? If you were president, what would you, Mitt Romney, do? Well, the president's clearly a blah, blah, blah.
This is going to be even more awkward for the most awkward man in the world. Dr. Richard Land, top conservative evangelical leader, came out strongly in favor of President Obama's new immigration policy today. Slamming Republicans who would call the move to amnesty. Oh, dear. Mitt Romney, other Republican leaders need to take a hard look at their own stances on immigration issues, especially in regard to youth that haven't done anything wrong,
right.
he said.
And done a lot right.
Providing help to kids is far from...
Grade point average.
Right. Providing help to kids is far from amnesty, he argued, and people calling it that need a course in remedial English. Talking to you, Mittens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He also encouraged Mitt Romney and Congress to embrace the president's policy. Well,
people who are against it.
Oh, I meant to say that. Sorry, I didn't say that.
Should be required to document exactly where and when their ancestors came to this country and under what circumstances.
Representative Michael McCaul, Republican of Texas.
I think politically pandering in an election year because he and all of us know how important the Hispanic vote is.
So
but
the fact that it's the right thing to do and, I don't know, what, 75% of Americans are for it?
He already kind of had the Hispanic vote.
Yeah.
He didn't need to do this for political expediency.
Yeah.
Romney's the one who needs to pander.
Yeah.
Let's go to Barbara in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I've been loving you guys for months now. I just had to call.
Thank you. Go ahead.
The president finally did what I've been advising for months. I tweet him all the time. And I told him, less Jackie Robinson and more Sam Jackson. I was expecting him to come down off that stage and slap the snot out of that guy.
Kathy the heckler. See, now, I do wish the president had said that. You know what? I'm going to come down and smack the snot out of you in a second.
Or get barring that, I'll get you a little,
get medieval on your ass.
A little more Ving Rhames, yeah, as Jim always says. Yeah. All right. Let's go to John in Austin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
well, listen, the Bush administration very effectively used access to the White House and access to the president. And this administration really isn't doing that. And it just... What really bothers me is it kind of gives them gives the right wing press the football in these kinds of incidents, because they're going to make up what they can. If that guy had not been there, if they'd had better control over who was in the Rose Garden, none of this would have happened, and you know, he could be on his merry way. I think,
well, John,
more brass knuckles are called for.
Brass knuckles. Well, I mean, you know, the president always gives statements in the Rose Garden. What's unprecedented is the heckling him before he's finished making a statement. I don't think you can say we're not going to have press conferences. You shouldn't let them in.
Yeah, but I don't think that they should be giving press passes to firebombing far-right bloggers.
Right.
They're not journalists. They're opinion columnists. They don't need to be at the press conferences at all.
No, I agree. Oh, hey, here's another. Why Obama's decision to stop deporting Dream eligible youth good for the economy. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, mittens. Oh, no.
Oh.
It could benefit as many as 1 million undocumented students, obviously, living in the country. It'll almost certainly have tangible benefits for long-term health of the American economy. I think Progress did a piece on this. The CBO, that's the Nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, estimated the DREAM Act would increase federal revenues by $1.7 billion over 10 years, reducing federal deficits by $2.2 billion over that time. DREAM-eligible students would generate between $1.4 and $3.6 trillion in taxable income.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
That seems fiscally responsible.
Over the course of their working lives, the decision will help raise wages for American workers, too. As long as a cheap, compliant pool of undocumented labor is available, employers have every reason to take advantage of the situation, keeping wages as low as possible. It was written in the American Prospect. Only when undocumented immigrants have the ability to exercise complete workplace rights will they help exert upward pressure on wages and labor standards that benefit other workers. I hadn't even thought of that part of it. Thank you, Think Progress. Let's go to Devin in Michigan. Hi, Devin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dev.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just kind of a quick question. I mean, because President Obama has set a big precedent here, and if conservative person is to be elected, you know, if it's going to happen, if they start stepping in and just like wiping out, well, I don't like the Department of Education and different things, I mean, is everybody going to be just as happy then as they are now with the overstep of the Constitution?
I'm sorry, take me back to what's your point? What's your point about the Constitution? You think he's overstepping it with this immigration?
Yeah, he's overstepping the Constitution. He has decided not to enforce laws, and the executive branch is to enforce laws, whether you like them or not. I mean, unfortunate. I mean, that's the way our Constitution is set up,
right,
whether you like it or not.
Right, but Devin, once again, it's not just a term that you throw out saying, oh, this is unprecedented. It is unprecedented. Look at the number of filibusters that this Republican Party, they have blocked everything he's trying to do.
Yeah,
he asked them again yesterday to pass this. Pass the DREAM Act.
And when the roles get reversed and there'll be a Republican in there, the Democrats are going to filibuster and do the same.
No, they don't.
They don't? Oh, yeah, okay. Dream on there. They filibuster all the time.
No, they do not.
Give me an example of when they did.
Just Google filibustering. Look at how many times the Republicans, they have filibustered everything, even the ability to bring it to the floor to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not even to address the subjects. You can't even...
When George Bush was in office, there was a threat to filibuster his nominees. So, of course...
They have filibustered Obama's nominees that are not even controversial. They have admitted are not controversial. They have filibustered even bringing them up. There have been...
Because they wanted to be a one-term president.
A lot of judges have spoken out about this, the judicial crisis caused by all these vacancies that they can't fill because of Republican obstructionism.
Yep.
Right.
And with this policy, families were getting ripped apart because of deportation.
Uh-huh.
Kids were being sent back to countries they didn't know the language of.
Right.
They didn't know anybody in.
I'm sorry, the president is standing up against unprecedented obstructionism by taking steps that are forcing them to leave.
Democrats do the same thing. They're exactly the same.
No.
Okay. He's taking what steps are at his disposal to try and force them to do something.
Right. And Chafin, the live blog, has a really good point. There were compromises reached regarding the Bush nominees.
Right.
Compromises reached with the Democrats.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Republicans now will not compromise with this president.
Right.
At all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, in fact, I will look it up, and when we come back, Harry Reid finally did something on the judicial thing that forced them to act in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, he just, because they finally got so fed up with saying, look, you are filibustering nominees you even admit are not controversial.
Right.
Just to hold them up.
Yep.
Anyway, we'll talk
about it. But Democrats do the same thing. It's about that George Bush, but that's the filibuster back.
I like when Jim imitates our right-wing callers. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This isn't Gautier with Somebody I Used to Know, Steph.
I know.
Okay.
TNT Music Factory. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's going to make you sweat till you bleed.
He actually spells it like Gautier.
Gautier. Yeah.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Joy Behar joins us in just a bit, and Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang.
Yep.
They're both doing fill-in on current television this week.
All this week.
Yeah. Very exciting. It's very exciting.
Don Snugelfong from the Panda G's.
Oh.
Stop it. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12.
That was so funny.
He comes on our network because we pronounce his name right and the places he's playing. Okay.
And he's a sexy liberal.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Julie in Portland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jules.
Oh, hi, Steph.
Hi.
I was just wondering, the Republicans are so upset that President Obama used an executive privilege regarding the young people that were born in this country, foreign national parents. How come nobody was upset when George Bush tippy-toed into the White House in the middle of the night and removed habeas corpus from our Constitution? Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
They pretty much eviscerated the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, here's the story I was looking at back in March. Harry Reid forces action on stalled judicial nominations. This is what they've been forced to do. Harry Reid announced he's moving forward with a package of stalled judicial nominees, effectively dared Republicans to stop him. He said, I hope Republicans won't continue to filibuster in what appeared to be a veiled threat that Obama will make recess appointments. We'll have no alternative but to take action. And so it worked.
Yep.
And that's the problem, is because they try to do it the nice way. And, and then and so that's what I was saying.
Tired
of the
being
president
nice.
He's tried and tried and tried with the Dream Act, and they won't exactly.
Yeah.
There's some movie reference that I'm going to get wrong.
Oh Lord.
One of my friend Rob's favorite movies, but it's these guys in a bar, and they ask them nicely to leave, and they won't, and they're acting like tough guys, and then they
Seven
suddenly,
Samurai.
Yeah, and then they suddenly all the doors lock, and the guy goes, "Now you just can't leave." You see what I'm saying? Because we tried to be nice, and then the guys come out from the back with clubs and bats and stuff. Okay.
I think it might be From Dusk Till Dawn.
I have no idea what movie
it was. I think it was Kirby the Love Bug.
Some sort of boy movie. Roadhouse? I don't know. Carl in Nashville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Well,
now you just can't leave, Carl.
Thank you. I'm locked in now.
Yep.
The inauguration you have. Members on the Republican side, including Newt Gingrich, that said that they're going to obstruct and do everything they can to this president. Mitch McConnell said that his whole thing is to pretty much jam up the Senate and make this guy a one-term president. And they've gunked up the Senate with all these judicial appointments and different appointments, to things that normally just roll right through.
That's right.
They've just been holding everything up. And then now they want to complain about this. What I would suggest to the president, and I think that this is just the first shot. I mean, you're going to see him use the executive orders for a lot of things. And I believe that this is the first shot to the Republicans. If they try and do this debt ceiling thing, hello, 14th Amendment. Have you ever heard of it?
Yep.
So I believe that he's going to say, you know what? We're not going through the debt ceiling thing this summer. We're going to just shoot out straight out the guns. We're going to use executive orders and the 14th Amendment.
Yep.
And
Carl, you know what? The president and Harry Reid.
Filibuster.
Mm-hmm. President and Harry Reid need to lock the doors to the Senate and say, "Now you can't leave."
Absolutely.
Am I right? All right. No, chat room. It was not beaches.
I think it was breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yes. No, I think Madtown Biochem says it was Boondock Saints.
You think?
Boondock Saints.
Yes.
Come on, help me out here.
Like,
there are guys,
it sounds like it was probably Boondock Saints.
We need you to leave,
lots
and they
fighting,
say no. And
lots of
like,
fighting in that
tough
movie.
Tough guys, yeah. And then they the doors lock, and the guy looks at him and says, "Now you can't leave." Now and then they come out with bats and clubs, and there's fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs.
Yes.
Mm.
Beaches.
Boondock Saints, 1999.
Beaches. I
Fraternal
love that.
Fraternal twins set out to rid Boston of evil men.
That's how Barbara Hershey got that fat lip.
I do check that after I age it.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hello, Sue.
Good morning. I can't help you with the movie reference. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, by the way, thank you for my pashminas. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Let me pick these up. That was very, very sweet of you. Let's see. She writes, it's a love letter. "Dear staff and the Mooks, not to rub slat in your wounds."
Yeah, thanks.
That was my right wing.
Yeah.
Right, writer letter. "We want to comment on the pashmina fiasco. Pashminas themselves not bad. The color was wrong that I was wearing with Cher, and it was wrinkled. In case you ever feel the need to throw something on as you dash out the door, since you're an elderly shut-in, it's a rare occasion. We've sent some pashminas that are better suited for your coloring and are wrinkle-resistant, and they're lovely. Thank you very much, Sue."
I don't think that was me, though. I'm sorry.
No, it
Steph.
Says Sue in Rockville down
well,
at the bottom.
And the whole DC fan club.
Yeah.
And so the gang sent it.
Yes.
Yes, and you know the nice thing is my beaver hat that was just sent matches the orange pashmina.
Not really. That's a different.
That was Dawn
no, Steph.
Gang. I will send love. They're all coming soon. But I was calling, you know, that was very nice of that lady, the bird lady, to call and identify the robin, but she didn't identify the other bird that was you could hear in the Rose Garden. Do you know what it is?
What is it?
It's the Irish nitwit.
Nice!
See, it's a mockingbird, and it mimics a journalist.
That's funny, Sue in Rockville. You're funny. Wah-ha-ha. Okay.
Ooh.
What?
No, those don't match, Steph.
It doesn't match my beaver hat.
Those are
hat
way different kinds of oranges.
Wow.
Really?
No, don't.
You need engineer
Clashy?
Boy to tell you.
How about that? How about that?
Okay, the orange with the blue, that might go.
Nice.
Oh.
Exactly.
Glad I thwarted that and stopped had that off at the pass. Whew.
I think as I age, I am going to wear a beaver hat and a pashmina everywhere. This is going to be my new thing. All right. Oh, by the way, I forgot. We have a, let's see, this is a, here we go. You go. Did you see Michigan State Representative Lisa Brown? She was banned from the floor for objecting to an anti-abortion bill. Apparently, Republicans think using medically correct terms for lady parts is inappropriate because she said in her speech, "I'm flattered you're also interested in my vagina, but no means no." Back on,
really?
Sister! So here at Current, let's see, we are encouraging people, if you want to, this story is picking up steam, what you can do is take a picture of yourself holding a sign with Brown's quote or even just the word vagina. And webcam yourself repeating it and share it online. Go to current.com.
That's right.
There you go.
Hey.
Can I wear my beaver hat and have a sign?
How dare you talk about lady parts in a discussion on women's reproductive health?
Yeah. It really is incredible. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she, you know, who's a little bit older, and she was saying it is incredible what's happening. She remembers having to take girlfriends, you know, and to do these back alleys. She had two friends that died. From back alley abortions, and it's just we're not going back there. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Joy Behar, John Fugelsang, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Now you just can't leave. All right, it's Bronx Tale. Okay, the movie's Bronx Tale that I'm referencing. Okay. Mm-hmm. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out, sexyliberal.com, the sexy little book. You can get swag that Chris and I are wearing. And the very few remaining tickets for the L.A. show in July, August in right. Columbus, and then Seattle in September. Get it. Go. Get it. Okay. Let's see. Alyssa says, Steph, referencing Friday's show, Chris can suck it. I absolutely love the goodbye voice. What? It was one of the things that made me a Steph-infected lunatic in the run-up to the 2008 election. That and the fart jokes, the slide whistle, bell for smartest kid in class, as well as your many cohorts in comedy, fuel saying, et cetera, house parks, et cetera. You can do no wrong, huh? As far as I'm concerned, Billy can shut the hell up and quit embarrassing everybody else here in Texas. All right, not a Billy in Texas fan.
I didn't know I struck such a nerve.
I am not one of your fans!
Yeah. You're a bad boy!
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, do it. I don't care. It's not the hill I want to die on. Go for it.
I treat both of you. Last week, Jim had a particularly funny line. I forget what it was, and I gave him a part of my chicken sausage.
You gave him a sausage.
Funny.
Yeah.
Question for Jim Ward. Jim, it's for you. Steve writes, Staff, I was watching a very liberal sitcom called Becker the other day.
Yes.
And there's the role of a doctor who nobody understood because of his thick German, Austrian accent. The credits at the end of the show listed the actor's name as Jim Ward, and there's a striking resemblance between the actor and Jim Ward. Jim Ward?
Yes.
Well, that's because it was, in fact.
Two episodes of Becker. The character is Dr. Rogozi, and they originally wanted to be sort of vaguely Slavic. But I decided to go the other direction and talk a language that doesn't really exist.
Sort of like Frank in The Wedding Planner?
Well, yeah. Well, no. I was trying to go for what English would sound like if the Norman conquest had failed. Sort of a
wow,
Dutch
you really thought this thing out.
Do it.
Oh, I don't remember the words now. But
do the accent.
It's not the accent. There were the actual different words.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you can find it on my IMDb page.
IMDb page. There you go. Jim Ward. All right. Oh,
I think I actually have a MySpace page, believe it or not.
Wow. That's current.
No, this is current.
Jose sends me, a future husband for me, a Southfield from the Detroit Free Press.
Uh-huh.
Southfield man recovering after accidentally shooting himself in the penis.
Oh!
Adjusted his gun. Although he had a permit to carry the gun, he may face charges of reckless discharge.
Yeah.
I'm hoping of the gun. Probably a bunch of different guns.
He won't be having any more reckless discharges.
Yeah. Discharge of a whole bunch of things.
Probably a lot of reckless discharges all over the place. All right. All right.
Oh, son of a bitch! I just got myself.
I don't think that's what Jacques Buchenbach intended.
No, you don't? No?
You don't ever shove your gun down into the front
there.
Of your pants.
Yeah, probably not.
Just asking for
Wise.
Trouble. I don't care if the safety's on. You just don't do that.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim, for that tip. For not shooting your off. Thank
right.
you. Thank you very much. All right.
He would still have it. Well, you know.
Kids, our friend Joy Behar is joining the current team with her own show in the fall. She will be filling in all this week for Governor Elliot Spitzer.
That's right.
And she's kind of busy. She has another little TV show or something.
Whatever.
So she couldn't join us live. We talked to her on Friday. Here she is, Joy Behar. Yay! Can radio applause. We don't have a studio audience.
Stephanie, how are you? You sound so up in the morning. What are you on?
Can I be on Rehab Week on The View?
Why do we have Rehab Week? Yeah, we should have that. We should have Rehab Week. That's a good idea. And also Plastic Surgery Week with all those people coming on with the nips and tucks.
I could do that too, just between you and me.
Yeah, what have you had done? Tell the truth.
Everything.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I'm Frankenwoman. Trust me, when you're out here in L.A., I'll give you a little peek. Now, Joy Behar, welcome to the team on Current. Yay, more canned radio applause.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're really excited.
I'm so excited to be there. It's like it's a whole other world to be amongst liberals. Everyone is a liberal. I mean, the other channels I've been on, you know, I have to contend with conservatives here and there.
Yeah.
But not here.
No, you don't have to hide it here. You can let your freak flag fly.
I like that.
Yeah. See, that's what irritates us about the mainstream media like CNN. They always have, like, there's two sides of facts. It's like there's Wolf Blitzers in the middle of everything going, we'll have to leave it there before the liberal gets a chance to make a point.
I know it's true, but they say that they're balanced, but in fact, they don't really go there, do they?
No.
But you know what? They are dying over there. They have no numbers at CNN.
Well, that's because they were stupid enough to let you go, and now you're on Team Current. You will be filling in every night this week for Governor Spitzer, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and then you join us with your own show in the fall, right?
In the fall, I start at 6 o'clock, I think, is my show. It's 6, 9, and 12.
Right.
They keep airing it again and again and again for those people who have missed it. Now, the main thing with the current television is people have trouble finding it, don't they?
Well, a guy wrote me the other day that sat on his remote and found me by accident. So we always have that opportunity. But,
That's funny.
You know, you have to call your cable providers. You can find it. Go to current.com, and people can find out, like, what cable system or where it is near them. So,
well, I know that in New York City, it's 103.
Right.
But what is it in Los Angeles?
Well, where I am, on my system, it's 142.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
They're all different numbers. You know, Oprah Winfrey tried to get the OWN channel 100 across the board, and she couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, and Oprah owns all of us, so I
she owns everybody.
Yeah,
we are her slaves.
I've worked for her twice.
you have? How was she? Was she fun?
She was terrifying, and yes, and very nice. She's Oprah. I don't even remember what the conversation was. I just said Oprah Flynn, something like that. But Joy, yeah, we're so excited because I have to tell you, we really are doing, I think, groundbreaking stuff here at Current. You know, this is what kills me about the mainstream media. They're so afraid of being called liberal that I think they overcompensate the other way. And there aren't two sides of facts, you know?
Right. Well, there are no two sides of facts, but you have to always, you know, take it with a grain of salt when they say it on another channel. But you know what? My show is not going to be all politics because I can't just do politics, politics, politics.
Right.
I get crazy from that.
Right.
And I'm not a pundit. I always say that people like us, I don't know about you, but
yeah.
I consider myself more a fundit.
Yes, me too. Me too.
We're fundits, yeah.
My show has been described as Senator Fart Joke, Senator Fart Joke. So I'm with you, sister. Yeah, but it's exciting. We have a lot of, exciting new shows. Gavin Newsom just started a show here, and the fact that you're coming is going to bring a lot of publicity, a lot more eyeballs, and so...
I hope so.
We thank you for that.
I will do my best. I still have that other show, The View, so
whatever.
I can try to promote it over there. Whatever, I know. I'll try...
Listen, I've been riding your coattails forever, Joy Behar. Just keep on trucking, woman.
I loved having you on my HLN show. You used to be great on that show.
I know. I love being on it, and I love having you on. And I know you have to go because you have like 16 jobs, like a Jamaican. So, congratulations.
Right, well, it's great talking to you.
You
and
too.
I'm thrilled to be part of the team coming up in September.
Yay.
On Current TV. Yes.
Yay for Joy Behar. Welcome to
Yay.
Team Current. All right, honey. We'll see you on the air this
all
week.
All right. Have a good weekend.
All right, honey.
Bye-bye.
There she goes.
So the interview about Current TV was not current.
It was not current. It was Friday.
It was Friday.
She's busy. Also, she will have Michigan State Representative Lisa Brown on the show tonight.
Great.
Who said vagina.
What?
Oh, no.
You can't say that.
Yes. And they're trying to ban her from speaking because she mentioned her lady bits.
In a discussion about women's
yes.
reproductive health.
That's a dirty
word. A man's job. If we're going to have a hearing about the JJs, it's only men are going to participate. You know, Joy would be on my side for my hearing I'm going to have about balls where I only invite women.
Catherine Heigl. Will
yeah.
Be, yeah,
just Catherine Heigl and me.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
it. Peggy in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I was calling for two reasons. I wanted to tell you it was the Bronx Tale.
Yes, thank you.
The guys walk in the bar, the bikers walk into the bar, and they started giving everybody a hard time. It was a mafia bar.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so they said, okay, serve them a couple of drinks. And then they started getting rude and obnoxious and throwing beers around. And they said, well, now you can't leave.
Now you can't leave.
Now you can't leave.
And they got the bats out and the chains, and they beat the crap out of them.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Thank you.
Okay.
And knocked the motorcycles down. If you
yes.
know bikers, they don't
yeah,
want
to. Yeah, you can't do that.
Oh, no.
And strangely, it was a musical comedy.
Yes.
Oh, yes. They sang all the way to the hospital.
All right. Becky in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Becky.
Hi there. I want to, first of all, be the official former congressional candidate lesbian librarian of the Stephanie
wow.
Miller Show.
Bugga, 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 bugga. Okay. Awesome.
Yes. And I also wanted to say to that guy that was talking about filibustering, I'm sorry, but whenever the Democrats wanted to filibuster, whenever Bush was in office, how many times did we hear the nuclear option? They were going to do the nuclear option,
yep.
which
mm-hmm.
would take away the ability to filibuster.
Or as George
but
Bush
nobody...
would say, nuclear.
Nuclear. Nuclear option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nuclear.
yeah.
Yes, but...
you know, they talk about, oh, filibuster, filibuster. No, the Republicans are filibustering, and why we haven't done the nuclear option, I don't know, or threatened them with it, I don't know. Harry Reid needs to grow a set, too.
Yep. You know? Well, I mean, but he did I mean, that's why he, basically, once the president made recess appointments, I mean, that was a shot across the Republicans' bow, and it worked. So, you know, and let's hope that this works the same way on the Dream Act.
Now you just can't leave.
That's exactly. It's the now you can't leave strategy.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, somebody's flummily laughing at me. Hello, Dr. Black in Philadelphia.
What's up, Steph?
Yes.
It is so nice to talk to you. I used to listen to you all the time when I lived in West Palm Beach.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, indeedy. I am calling because the thing that astounds me the most about this whole back and forth since 2008, which I think is basically racially based and foundationally about race,
yeah,
is that people who are Republicans know full well that they're lying and they do nothing, say nothing, and just go along to get along when the people who are voting for these Republicans wind up getting the bad end of the stick, like out in Wisconsin. They voted that man in office, and then he stripped them of their rights post-haste. And they still say they're Republicans. It confuses me, because Americans are more intelligent than that. And I'm a professor, so I'm really confused, because this is just basic 101 of everything.
Yep.
So
yep.
Maybe you can clear that up for me.
Yep. She's cracking herself up. Yeah, we've talked. You know what? We talked about that. We'll talk about it more. The Rose Garden incident, etc. All right. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, that woman's about as supple as a rhinoceros horn up the backside.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. That's right. Next time the president needs to... Are there doors on the Rose Garden? He needs to lock the doors like Chaz Palminteri in Bronx Tale and say, now you just can't leave.
Now you just can't leave.
Exactly. My point. The president of the White House Correspondents Association criticized Daily Caller reporter Neil Monroe for repeatedly interrupting President Obama during the event, calling it discourteous and not the way reporters who cover the White House conduct themselves. Thank you. Didn't you know this was a rose garden? For God's sake. Mike shoots scores again. Let's go to Tim in Buffalo. Hey, Tim, welcome.
Hey, how are we doing today,
Steph? Good.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Good. Go ahead.
I was listening to the Tom Hartman show Friday afternoon, and he had a guest on who was explaining that, you know, as your earlier caller was saying, that this is the president trampling the Constitution. His guest explained that what Obama's done, that with the immigration policy, there's the law and then there's these rules that they have to follow. And that what the president has done is he's actually changed the rules. And that's okay. That has nothing to do with the Constitution. And she said that's why good immigration attorneys stay up on the rules. So the bottom line
Good
is
point.
When, you know, liberals talk to conservatives, we want to talk apples, they want to talk oranges, and you're left with a question mark over your head at the end of the conversation.
Yeah, but you're
calling early, they're going to try to make it something that it's actually not. And Obama's not a dumb guy. He wouldn't do something like that if it was going to be a constitutional issue.
Yeah, exactly. And if he were going to trample on the Constitution, he would have to remove it from George Bush's ass where he was using it to wipe as wipey, you know?
Yes.
Just saying. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to Rachel in West Virginia. Hi, Rachel. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
I just also had a couple comments about the Rose Garden silliness. First, though, I found y'all about a month ago, and I've just been delighted, so thank you for
thank
all
you.
That. But anyway, as to one of y'all's comments that, you know, they ought not perhaps let bloggers and pseudo-journalists in, I kind of disagree for perhaps three reasons. First of all, it makes the administration look good and open-minded and unbiased to, you know, let a wider range of folks in. And second of all, if these nutters can actually get things firsthand, there's a possibility they might report, you know, accurately. Maybe not, but maybe. And third, you know, folks can't behave themselves. They need to just be straightforward at the beginning before they even get their press passes or whatever and just, you know, point the finger sternly and say, look, these are the rules. If you can't behave, you won't be invited back.
Yep. Yep. Now you can't leave. Now you can't leave is my point.
Yeah.
Oh, look, everybody, it's Billy in Texas. Hi, Billy in Texas.
Morning, guys. Look, you know, the fact of the matter is that
Billy,
Obama
must you cheat on me with every other host
yeah,
in Progressive
I
Radio?
Hear
how
you
much
everywhere.
Do you get paid? Do you get paid per show, or is it do you get a, you know, like a just one blanket fee?
No, ma'am. You're the only one that pays me.
That was quick. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Okay, Billy, I'll give you that one.
All right, look, here's the deal. Obama is too weak of a leader to lobby for the nuclear option or lobby to get his things passed the way he wants them. So he
do you guys all just mispronounce nuclear just to give George Bush cover there in Texas? Is that the deal?
I don't know, but it's a mark of a weak leader to attempt to rule by decree.
Like George W. Bush did, you mean?
He didn't change a law, Billy.
Well, he's not. Well, he. He's changing the application of the law. He's changing the way things.
He only changed the rule. He only changed the rule. Didn't change the law. That's not unconstitutional.
Well, a rule and a law.
No, it wasn't passed by Congress.
Well, you know, I'm not sure that I agree.
It's a policy.
It seems to me that he's attempting to rule by decree, and he's doing it. He's doing it for political reasons. You know,
like George Bush did with habeas corpus. You mean?
Why didn't he do this last year?
Because
they were formulating the policy.
Right.
They were formulating the new policy.
Because they didn't, first of all, and again, people forget, Ted Kennedy was not available to be on the Senate floor. There was never a, you guys had all the power, you could have done it.
And they didn't seat Al Franken until much later as well.
He was not seated yet, and Robert Byrd as well.
That's right.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John Fugel saying sexy liberal joining us in just a few minutes. We'll be filling in for
Jennifer Granholm.
Jennifer Granholm every night this week. I'm sorry. So many new shows on Current. It's confusing to grab them. So much magic. Jeff in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Listened every day. If I do miss you in the morning, they rebroadcast 2 hours of your show starting at midnight.
Oh, fabulous.
Last week, we had a rare power outage here in suburban Chicago, and my computer was fried when the power came back on. I had to replace the computer, but as we speak, Carbonite is downloading my files.
Thank you for that unsolicited testimonial. I appreciate it.
No, it was worth every penny. I'm a lifelong subscriber to Carbonite now, just like I'm a lifetime listener to Stephanie Miller.
Jeff, you're goodbye and handsome and romantic. All right, goodbye.
I'm not going to say anything about
it. I am some romantic man. No. What? All right, what? Oh, looky here. Just like a Kotex, Mitt Romney's tour bus has wings. In Mitt Romney's America, buses have wings and jet engines, apparently. They travel 500 miles an hour. He flies.
And
just gets on the bus right
He's
before.
Never been on a bus in his entire life.
God, this
are you
is marvelous.
Me?
What is this?
Please.
Is this the thing that little people ride in before they eat those chocolatey things or something? Yeah, he boards a chartered plane to fly to the next state. The campaign leased multiple matching buses that will be pre-positioned along the route. Three or four Romney buses will be leapfrogging around. So that's how authentic. Even his bus tour is inauthentic. Isn't that something? Mittens on the campaign trail.
In the days ahead, we'll be traveling on what are often called the back roads of America.
Sure you are.
But I think our tour is going to take us along what I'll call the backbone of America.
Yeah, that plane is the one that said Romney's Every Millionaire Counts tour.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
All right.
I've heard of these back roads. Mm. I've never seen them myself.
For so many Americans, the distance between their town and the city of Washington has never seemed so far. The federal establishment has never seemed so hostile and so remote.
What?
So disconnected from economic reality.
You mean like wow. People that get $77,000 a year tax deductions for their
dressage horses? Yeah.
And we congratulate Rafalka Romney.
Yes, who made it into the Olympics.
Yes.
Yes, Mitt said that and the athlete in the family. No, actually, Rafalka would be the, of course, would be the athlete, you see.
And, of course, just kind of course.
Mm-hmm.
And pardon? Writes the checks.
Sure.
That's
if there were an Olympic sport of check writing, Ann yes. Romney absolutely would be.
And good on her.
Olympic calendar. Okay, Mittens, one more time.
The president spoke of giving people a fair shot. I could not agree more. You know, under President Obama, more Americans are living in poverty than under any president in history. That's a tragedy, not a fair shot.
It's also not true. I just made that up. I pulled that directly out of my ass.
I don't care about poor people. What did I say? Oh. Okay. By the way, Mitt's plan to even unite evangelicals, pretend he's Rick Santorum.
What?
He's, when he speaks, he has like a different speech for every group. When he speaks to evangelicals, a promise to fix the economy by reinforcing the importance of the heterosexual family unit to an American population gone astray.
But he signed into law same-sex marriage in Massachusetts.
Oops.
Oops.
But
there you go again, bringing that up. By the way, tomorrow, did you anybody see this in the New York Times? A father, a son, and a fighting chance. The mm-hmm. father of one of the proponents in the Prop 8 case, the male couple.
Oh yeah.
You know, we always talk to Chris Perry and Sandy. His Jeff and Paul, the other, they live right here in Burbank.
Right, we've had Paul on.
His father wrote his father wrote the most beautiful piece. We're going to talk to them tomorrow about family and love. I need to go back. All right. Sorry. I'm having a thing today.
Nervous breakdown.
All right. Oh, here's good news for all you heterosexual family value people, Flavin. Glenn Beck is planning a music project to compete with the horrifying liberal Trojan horse that is Glee.
So there's going to be a conservative Glee is what they're
really?
Yes. A little more than a year ago on his Fox show, now departed. Oh, dear. Beck said he had watched the teen soap with his wife and decided that family values were doomed because there was no way they could compete against a show like that well produced and toxic to their way of life.
He's gonna have a hard time getting a gay choreographer to choreograph
this
thing.
Good luck with your straight choreographer.
Yeah.
Okay, Beck has a new music project he's going to unleash that will sneak as many subversive messages to young people as Glee does, he says, but will be sneaking in messages of love. Trademark, straight people. Okay.
Is this his first foray into scripted television?
I bet it'll be fabulous.
I think he's going to run into a buzzsaw of opposition, much like most productions out there run into.
Good luck finding hair and makeup. Okay.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
Good luck with the set, Brian. Okay. Oh, no. Again?
What?
Lindsay Lohan, again, cannot find water anywhere in Los Angeles. Exhausted, dehydrated.
Dehydrated again.
She,
You know, at 7-Eleven, you can get all kinds of bottled water.
Yeah.
Heard that.
Yeah.
They have a whole assortment.
Yeah.
She continued to bring drama to the production of her latest film, receiving treatment for exhaustion and dehydration.
Dehydration.
Uh-huh. A week after she was... Remember when she ran into that 18-wheeler in her Porsche?
Sure.
Cut her off.
Yeah.
Because, as Jim said...
18-wheelers are notorious.
Much more maneuverable than a Porsche.
Yeah, sure. So that made sense. Anyway, the producers of the Lifetime film, Liz and Dick, summoned paramedics to her hotel room Friday morning because she apparently had a passed out.
Maybe they're trying
she was
to
not
reenact
conscious.
The famous drinking binges at the actual Liz and Dick.
Have you seen from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Exactly.
The incident occurred after she had competed an all-night shoot, her publicist said, which is why she was dehydrated and exhausted and unconscious.
And drunk.
We don't know.
We don't know.
No,
we don't know. There's no indication.
She could have just, yeah, maybe there was no bottles of water left in L.A. Who knows? All right. You know what? I have got to get on a rider for my Sexy Liberal Tour. I ask for nothing. And so what do I get?
Nothing.
Nothing?
You get bupkis.
I demand nothing. I get
you
nothing.
You get nothing.
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
Thank you. Madonna had requests 20 phone lines in her dressing room. I don't even have 20. I don't have 20 people to call. Well, I don't have 20 people even want to talk to me. She has been traveling with a 200-strong entourage, including 30 bodyguards, personal chefs, a yoga instructor, and an acupuncturist. She also has a portable dry cleaner and has asked for her space to be decorated with lilies and roses. Clearly not hydrangeas.
Yeah, we all found that out.
Which she hates. With their stems trimmed to exactly 6 inches. If there is a mistake made. Plus, the area must be draped in a special fabric. Her team has removed also the furniture from the rooms and filled them with her own property. So they ship her own furniture around the country to make it give it a homier feel.
Hmm. Is she really worth any of that? No.
You know, I can't believe I haven't lost my... The Captain America's underpants. My set dressing is falling down, for God's sakes.
We have a call into the set department.
I don't... Why do I put up with this?
Let's get one thing straight, and we'll get along fine. My entrance. Lights first, then music, then the door, then the carpet. If a mistake is made, someone's head will roll. Would you like to guess whose?
She has Madonna's fake English accent.
Pull your pants up, Captain America. Your underpants. Look at that. My set's falling down already. Oh, here's some news we didn't want to know. David Hasselhoff recently declared that he does not need erectile dysfunction drugs. He told The Sun, I am the anti-Viagra. I am the Hoff.
The Hoff. He said, I am the Hoff.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. That would cause women to need a female Viagra, just that. I am the Hoff. Does he just say that when he walks in the bedroom?
Well, you know, after he eats a hamburger off the floor.
Sure. What's hotter than that? Okay. Kristen in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Mama.
Hi.
First, can I be the official union thug with a giant blah rescue dog?
Oh, awesome. What kind of giant blah dog?
She's a mix. I think she's from Newfoundland.
Oh. Good girl.
So, and then can I get a birthday wish?
A birthday wish from Jim. You want a happy birthday as who?
As Charlie Rangel.
Oh.
Oh. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Kristen.
Kristen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kristen. Happy birthday to you. And many more. And don't let that mimic do that again.
Okay.
All
right. Fabulous. All right. She's a happy girl.
Yay.
Okay. Wow. Hey, speaking of family values, public policy polling poll finds brothels enjoy popular support across all political parties in Nevada, including 66% of both Democrats and Republicans.
Wow.
March poll found only 20% of Nevada Republicans support same-sex marriage, however.
Oh.
A juxtaposition the pollsters described as an interesting take on family values.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nevada's brothels have no legal restrictions on sexual orientation, so long as, according to the state's Republicans, it's okay if gays and lesbians pay for sex, just so long as they don't settle down and start families.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's an interesting take on values.
Okay, then. Paid sex, good. Marriage, no. Bad. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I think your show is absolutely vulgar. I think it's sad. We're
all
trying
to
raise kids to be respectful.
There's
no way you're adding to it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Here I go again. My, how can I resist her?
Stephanie Miller.
Now I really know. My, I could never let you go.
I don't really speak English. I don't know what I'm singing, because I'm singing phonetically.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Chris, I was telling you, they're coming to my house right after the show.
Right,
I
heard.
The Sexy Liberal documentary. Mm-hmm. Just me lounging around with a box of wine or whatever. But I've just received some fun facts about Sexy Liberal. I did not know any of this. Already seen by over 30,000 people. Highest grossing political comedy tour ever. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Lots of stuff. Live comedy album. Let's see. Most downloaded album on Amazon.com. Remained the number one comedy album for 6 weeks. Amazon, iTunes. You know why?
That's quite a feat.
Because of sexy liberals like John Fugelsang, who joins us now. Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Good morning, Steffers. How are you and the Mooks doing?
We're fabulous.
You are in Sam Clam's disco right now, aren't you?
Yes, my goal is to be in a different city every time I call into your show.
Running from the law, as usual.
Yeah, and, congratulations on your very successful tour.
Yes, I know, and you have nothing to do with it.
John, very little. In spite of me, it's done quite well.
No, it's all because of you, and you are bringing your special magic to Current TV all this week.
Indeed, I am. Well, I really wanted Joy Behar to be my warm-up act, and so I finally found a way to make that happen all week long. Joy's going to be hosting Governor Spitzer's show at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and I'll be hosting Governor Jennifer Granholm's show. And it's kind of funny. Today's Paul McCartney's 70th birthday, and the studio here is directly across from where the Beatles did their last ever concert at the Giants Stadium over here. Now, it used to be Candlestick Park. Now it's AT&T, because that's got more soul.
Yes.
So if my signal drops out during here, you know why.
Yeah, there you go.
And by the way, that is at 9 p.m., Eastern Time, and 6 p.m. Pacific.
That's right.
John will be filling in all week. Did a fabulous job last time. Oh, and you're going to be filling in for me, for all of us, in
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Yes,
when
I'll
we
be
go.
Filling in for all of you. I'm working on my Charlie Wrangle right now.
Charlie Wrangle?
Charlie Wrangle? How come when you do it sounds like Charlie Wrangle? When I do it sounds like the lead singer of Cradle of Filth. I don't know.
First of all, if you're going to fill in for all three of us, yeah, you're going to have to brush up your impressions, drink a box of wine every morning, and get on steroids and beef up so that you can fill out your T-shirts. Like
I already borrowed a little black T-shirt from my kid's sister to try to look like Chris, so I don't know if I can actually pull it off. I'm going through the international mail catalog as we speak.
Let's see. Hang on. I'm putting you. Let's go to John in Asheville. You're on with John Fugelsang. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
All right, good. It seems to be a very good growing season here in West North Carolina. I'd like to be your official pot grower.
John, I don't know why. That's what I was going to guess is what you grow.
Yeah. You could have figured that out from my voice, I guess.
We already have an official pot grower, but I forget who it is.
Yeah, you see what you did there. Okay. Whee! John Fugelsang, what did you think about the president's, announcement on immigration? I just thought it was, A, the right thing to do, much like his stance on marriage equality, and B, it made Mittens look even more inauthentic than he already is.
Exactly, because Mittens has been going around saying he was against the DREAM Act, and now he's not saying anything about it, and that's why you're only going to see a lot of Mittens on Fox News and avoiding anybody who will ask real questions. I enjoyed the press conference very much. I want to say that Tucker Carlson is to real journalism what Tucker Carlson is to Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
The DREAM Act is an amnesty, okay? If you think it's amnesty, you're actually thinking about what Ronald Reagan did.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that this is amnesty, and if you're really angry about the DREAM Act, then all you right-wingers have to take down your Ronald Reagan love dolls, because that is exactly what the president did. This is sort of like a sinister plot of the president to allow babies who want to grow up and work and pay taxes to stay in this country, and that's all it is.
Well, and we were saying, first of all, to say it's political during political season, duh. And number two, he was already ahead by 30-something points among Latino voters. He did this because of the unprecedented obstructionism, and it's the right thing to do, as I said.
The right thing to
do, and the
right.
Other thing is it makes Mitt Romney have to do that awful, awkward pivot even earlier than usual, because he literally was the most far right on immigration in the Republican primary, wasn't he?
You're exactly right, and it makes Mitt Romney look even more like an awkward white man trying to dance at a Wu-Tang show.
There you go.
it's hilarious, and of course it's political, and the Republicans are saying it's political. Yeah, they're right, but you know what Bush did for 7 years every time it got close to Election Day? He hiked up the terror alert level to orange, all right, which was not positive for anybody. This is positive for so many people. It's going to be good for economies. It will be good for jobs. It's going to have more people paying taxes in America. And, you know, if you want to be against this, again, you've got to be against Ronald Reagan, because he gave real amnesty. This is a positive thing all around, and I'm really proud of the president for doing it. And I also want to see this guy, Monroe, get deported back to Ireland for that American journalist job he took.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. By the way, can I have my conspiracy sausage music? This was my favorite right-wing implosion over the president's announcement on Friday. Our favorite, our Representative Alan West from Florida. He alleges new Obama policy on Dreamers is a voter fraud conspiracy. He says, is this one of those backdoor opportunities for allow people in the next 5 months to get the opportunity to vote? Why is it being done at this point in time? Why have we not allowed a national debate on the issue to really get a sense of what the American people feel? Well, in fact, the DREAM Act has been up for debate for over a decade. Some version of the DREAM Act has been introduced in every Congress since 2001. And despite his insistence, the American people have not been heard. Polls show most Americans support the DREAM Act, which goes even further than President Obama's executive order that he just unveiled.
Which only proves they've been duped.
Uh-huh. And again, you cannot win the White House without 40% of the Latino vote. So game on, Mitch. And it's going to be really interesting seeing what Marco Rubio does right now.
Well, I mean, and that, to me, it's like that is the most offensive thing. It's just we've got a Hispanic guy that has some virgin something that I might. That's not too ham-handed, is it?
Family was escaping the horrors of the Batista administration.
That and the fact that did you hear about this? The RNC Latino Outreach website has pictures of Asian kids on it.
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
In fact, it's even labeled as Asian.
In the stock photo place where they got it from, it's labeled Asian. Yeah.
But Mitt wants you to know he's really in touch with the Latino community, and he cares about all Hispanicals. So watch for that. And you're going to see Marco Rubio really try hard now to talk about how he's so pro-DREAM Act without calling it DREAM Act, just like Mitt Romney is so Bush economics without calling it Bush economics. And now we're seeing Chris Christie start to really make a play that he really thinks he has a shot at being vice president. I don't really think that, number one, you can have two Northeastern moderates on the same Republican ticket and hope to win. But also, Chris Christie thinks he's got a shot. Chris Christie believes in climate change, gun control, Obama's education program. He doesn't hate Muslims. He doesn't hate illegals. And he doesn't, you know, it's like, Chris, meet the Tea Party. They're going to love you.
Well, and, you know, I've been reading a lot about always going to, you know, try to cross over, go for the youth vote with, you know, Rubio or what's his name, Paul Ryan, who are what, they're like 41? What about that whole campaign against the president's inexperience? Really?
Exactly. Well, but that was a Sarah Palin argument, too. They don't really have any ideology. It's all about who's got the job, and they're going to say whatever they have to say, and they're going to stop believing what they believed last year in the name of beating him this time. It's just, it's really, really sad. Mitt Romney is a true Etch-a-Sketch. The guy has no core values, and all my Republican friends who spent the entire primary season hating this guy are now doing what Ann Romney has to do, fake it for Mitt.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the most fun part. We're faking it for Mitt.
You said Etch-a-Sketch. If only someone could have caught a Romney campaign person saying something like, oh, someone did. John Fugelsang did. By the way, my friend Trish, who makes that noise every time I say your name.
Love Trish.
She gave me a small Etch-a-Sketch to give you. I didn't have the heart to tell her that you get about 27 of those every liberal show.
It's amazing. Every show I do, people show up with Etch-a-Sketches. It happened the other night in Minneapolis after my show. It happened in Boston with Sexy Liberal. And, you know, I'm really glad that I can be a part of Ohio Arts stock surge.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be a minor historical footnote in a very ugly presidential campaign.
You are a one-man stimulus, John Fugelsang, and I mean that in every sort of dirty way possible. We will see you tonight on the TV, on Current, and all weekend, and we're going to see you on the show every day this week to talk about what you're doing.
Thank you. I also want to say one more thing about my time at CNN. I had the honor 6 weeks ago to meet Rodney King, and for all that man's personal demons, for everything he went through, for all of the, you know, problems that were related to his addiction, he asked for forgiveness in his life, and he gave forgiveness in his life, and he was an uncommonly gracious and gentle man.
Yep.
I don't think anyone
John,
deserves
out of time, honey.
Go ahead,
we will see you tomorrow on the show. All right. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.